One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
So now you have your Bible. It's time for us to bring the message. I hope all of you can hear, and we'll get right into the message. I want you to turn, please, to the book of Psalms. Chapter 14. The 14th chapter of the book of Psalms is repeated in the Bible. It's repeated in the Bible. It's put twice in the Bible, not because it's twice as important as any other chapter, but God just saw fit to put it in. And so we're just going to read, though, one passage, and it'll be in the 14th chapter of the book of Psalms, verse 7. 14 and verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel. Now, when the little word oh is used, it sort of means to me it's hurting. I mean, there's a real pain there. That's reading the love of the song, Brother Jimmy, that says, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Now, verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Turn to Psalm chapter 85. But on the way over there, let's stop at 74, will you? Over in the 74th Psalm. 74th Psalm, and it's verse 12. Verse 12. 74 and verse 12. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Now remember, salvation comes from the Lord. You go back to the 9th verse of that same chapter, and he said, we see not our signs. There's no more any prophet. Now, actually, if we were to take out the G, what would we have? We see not our sins. There's our trouble. When we don't see our sins, you couldn't feel that you need a revival. If you don't have any sins tonight and can't sin, if you do, I can't help you. We've got to be made to see our sins. But we need a revival. Paul said, and I say again, of the sinfulness of sin. I used to say in our old tent campaigns that we welcomed into our living room what our granddaddy shook the bulldogs onto.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we laugh now at what grandma cried about. Sin is not black anymore, and sin is not awful anymore, that is, in the eyes of people. All right, turn on with me, please, to another passage, Psalm 85, Psalm 85. The psalmist looked like, and this is a great revival book and prayer book, the book of Psalms. He's asking for revival here in Psalm 85, 85th verse. And this reminds me of America. He said, Lord, you've been favorable to your land. You brought back the captivity of Jacob. You've forgiven the iniquity of thy people. You've covered their sin, verse 2. Taken away all thy wrath, verse 3. Turn thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Notice, verse 6, isn't this strange that God could be so good to people and yet they need revival? Will thou not revive us again? Why? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Our churches are sad churches, dead churches. Our people are sad people. They're not singing people. I mean, we like the Israelites of old, going into the land of captivity, been captured by the devil and sin, and hung our harps on the willow tree, sat down to weep. And when the Egyptians came and said, say, Israelites, aren't y'all the sweet singers of Israel that we used to be? Why don't you sing us a song? They said, we can't sing our song in a strange land. We're living in a strange land. There are a lot of people out of pocket. You can't pray if you're not on prayer ground. You can't sing if you're not in the land of singing. And our people have gotten away from the Word of God and from the Lord. They've lost their song. I can remember hearing my old mother when she didn't feel good. I know she didn't. She was sick. She was so sick. I can remember hearing her as she'd stand in that old west porch without electric washer or without running water. And an old black wash pot, and I can smell that old wood smoke now, and chopped up that old homemade lye soap, and I can hear it as she stood there, that old washboard, manicuring her fingernails at that old rub board as she sang, what a friend we have. alive in Jesus. You wouldn't know she had the burdens that she had. You wouldn't know that she dreaded all those old dirty clothes, old jumpers and overalls, and all the rest of it. She'd sing when I'd leave to go to school. My mother's voice would be drifting out with the south wind across that old north field as she sang sweet old prayer that calls me from a world of care. I'd come in the afternoon, and she'd be tuned up again, singing to the old rugged cross. I'll ever be true. It's shame and reproach I'll gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where it's glory forever I'm going to share. And she's sharing it tonight. But oh, the people don't sing anymore. They got better cars. They go faster. They got radios and television sets. They got electric washers and deep freezes and electric lines, and they got carpet sweepers and deep carpet from wall to wall. We barely had wall to wall floor in our house, but praise God, she sang. She sang, and we've lost our song, and God's people need to be revived tonight. And I tell you what, we need in this meeting right here at the city, we need revival for God's people, and we need salvation for the devil's crowd. Yes. Everybody here is a child of God, or you're a child of the devil. And I wish I could convince you to know tonight that if you're a child of the devil, you got a bad daddy. He's a mean, devilish daddy tonight. Listen, I tell you what he'll do. He'll lock you in the prison. He'll cheat you. He'll starve you. He'll shoot dope in your veins. I've seen little dope addicts come in the last from your city. Brother Don, two of them, one of them 21, one of them 18, almost dead. Doctor looked at that precious little old girl and called his other doctor associates in and said, look at this. Sores all over her body where that powerful dope had gone in those needles. And a little old thing expecting a baby in just a few days. Been on dope and cigarettes, and both of them are dope.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, both of them sin. I tell you, the longer I see what happens down here, how these little old fellas get hooked at an early age on these nasty cigarettes and realize, listen, you're nothing but little dope heads. That's all you are. And you'll be, when you grow a little bigger, you'll be big dope heads. That's all you are. You're dope addicts. You're already hooked on it. That's the reason you steal it. That's the reason you lie. That's the reason you hide it. That's the reason you bear it. That's the reason you smoke it. That's the reason you're going to die with cancer. You're already hooked on dope. Brother, I don't know of a person in the world, including all the doctors, that can deliver you from it except Jesus Christ. I believe as long as a matter of sin, there's only one answer to it, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ that we're going to preach to you in just a little bit. We need revival. Need revival. You know, turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 12. The book of Isaiah chapter 12. I wish you boys would mark this in your precious Bibles. In Isaiah chapter 12, he said, I'm going to have some joy. And I'm going to do some drawing. Think about that. Jesus said, and I have 5 billion from earth. Well, draw all men unto me. Now notice verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. Who's my salvation? Didn't say the Baptist church, did he? Didn't say the priest or the Virgin Mary. He didn't say my good works. He didn't say go into the baptismal pool. He said, God is my salvation. Brother, we have a great salvation, don't we? No wonder he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know what that salvation is? It's the Lord. You know how it was manifested to us? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. I will trust and not be afraid. Think about that. You know, the psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. But Isaiah said, I'll go in one better. I'll just trust and won't get scared. Amen. Isn't that sweet? I mean, isn't that good? That's the way it ought to be, isn't it? I tell you, a lot of times I've got plumb scared, Brother Clyde. I really have. And, of course, I've trusted in the Lord. But I tell you, you know, say I read something this week. I think it was this morning, where they said, now, the rule, in case, this came out in the school. Now, isn't this silly? Hypocrites. They said, now, in case of a bombing or attack from the enemy, the rule against praying will be temporarily suspended. Well, I tell you, brother, if they start invading me, they wouldn't have to suspend nothing. I'd just start praying, wouldn't you?
Amen.
And I tell you something else. They can take me one of these little heathen cafeterias if they want to. I don't care what's in the schoolhouse. I'm going to duck my unworthy head and say, thank God for this food. Now, help me to digest it and eat it and give me strength. I mean, they couldn't stop me from praying. They couldn't stop Daniel from praying. They couldn't stop Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. How in the world can you stop a Christian from breathing? And you can't stop him from praying if he wants to be right with the Lord. None of their business. Pray anyhow. Pray in the principal's office. Pray for him. Yeah. Pray till he starts praying. That old blind evangelist used to come see us, Brother Edge, you know, dear old Brother Graves Darby, you know, didn't have any eyesight. Bless his old soul, he'd stand. And I tell you one thing about Brother Graves, of course, he's in heaven tonight. But you know, he couldn't see, but his tear ducts never did dry up. They just never did dry up. His tear ducts just always looked like he just cried, tears would just roll, and he couldn't see nothing. And he said, you ought to pray when you feel like it. You ought to pray when you don't feel like it. And you ought to pray till you do feel like it. Amen. Yeah, that's what he said. Now, we'll forget that. All right. Now, he said, with joy, notice. He said, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isn't that good? With joy, it's going to be a joy to draw that salvation water up. Think about it. Listen, workers, we're drawing salvation water. Why, listen here. What if we do get blisters on our spiritual hand? Let that water come on up. We got little old boys here that need some water. And if they were out here starving, little old tongues is all swollen and their lips were parched and they were starving to death and we could find a well of water, of course we'd draw water. And it come to us parched in sin and broken in heart and life and neglected and declared so by the courts. Brother, we need to get water of life in these boys. And the only way to do it is give them the wonderful word of God. Let's go a little further. Jeremiah 3:23. In vain have we hoped for salvation from the hills. Did you get that? Isn't that a sight? But Jeremiah said, that old prophet with a broken heart, lived in a day of backslidden Israelites and backslidden people of God. And he said, in vain have we hoped for salvation from the hills. That verse really somehow gripped me tonight. When I looked over that in McConaughey, in vain, we've looked for salvation from the government hill. Didn't come. We look for salvation from the education hill and the college hill and the graduate school hill. And we made doctors out of just about everybody, but they didn't have any medicine to doctor with. And we look for salvation from the denominational hill, and it's shot. And we look for salvation from the church hill, and it's done for. And we look for salvation from the good works hill, and it's gone. And we look for salvation from the National Council of Church, and it's gone. We look for salvation from United Nations Conference, and they got together all over the world, and it's shot and gone. Dear friend, we've tried peace parleys and war and rumors of war and everything else, and yet it's all failed. But dear friends, Jesus has never failed.
Amen.
And he'll never fail. He's my hope tonight. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. He ought to know it. After he cruised 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, and the Lord come up and said, all right, to that old fish, spit that backslidden preacher out. I know you're sick. I know you're nauseated. I think the fish turned pale in the gills. I really do. You ever heard of that? You ever heard he say, we're looking pale in the gills? Brother, that's where that fish was. You talk about sick. My, that preacher said, I've eaten something poison, sure as the world. I mean, I'm nauseated to death. And the Lord cruised him up to the land, and he spit that old preacher out, and he walked down the beach running wide open and said, and got up steam and went into the city of Nineveh and said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish in 40 days. I just thought a lot of times, you know, if the sister did like they used to do to me, Brother Paul, when I was a preacher, and they said, we want you to come over. I imagine they said to Brother Jonah, you know, we'd like you to come over and have fish dinner with us. He said, anything but fish, sister. I've been riding in one for 3 days and three nights and hadn't got this fish smell off of him before revival broke out and a heathen king began to repent. And they started praying and fasting. Didn't even feed the cows and water the cows, brother. A whole city of 600,000 souls were saved. When what? One backslidden preacher got right with the Lord and came down the streets of Nineveh preaching what? Repentance. That's right. That's the message today. That's the message. We're not going to have revival until somebody repents. There's no way to get rid of your sin except you repent. You'll all perish, he said. Everyone, he's preaching that to the church, back to the in the Bible when Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Habakkuk 3:8. And I hadn't seen this till a while ago. Ride on the chariot of salvation. You're not a good ride. You're not a sweet ride. I tell you, I've been riding that chariot now for over 36 years. And it gets sweeter all the time. Yes, sir. I mean, ride on. I like that. Ride on in the chariot of salvation. Now then, Zacchaeus was up the sycamore tree. He said, I believe I'll take a look at Jesus, boy. You know, he did. You know, we got 170 palm trees, but they had sycamore trees over there. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He's a rich fellow. Oh, he had a fist full of money, a pocket full of money, a bank full of money. And, man, he was well fixed, Don. I mean, he was in good shape, you know. And the world said, there goes Mr. Zacchaeus. There. Good morning, Mr. Zacchaeus. When he walked in the bank, I'll guarantee the bowed and scraped and said, "That's Mr. Zacchaeus. Have you met Mr. Zacchaeus?" "Well, old Zacchaeus has lost his jaybird." And he said, "I'll tell you what I believe will do. I hear Jesus is coming to town, and I'll just go down there and climb a sycamore tree." Now, you see what's wrong with him? He was ashamed to be identified with Jesus. You know, every lost man is. They don't want to get too close to Jesus, especially if they think Jesus is going to see him. Didn't have sense enough to know Jesus could see through the tree and the limbs and leaves and everything else. And just like Adam and Eve, you know what they did? They got over there behind the tree and thought this. Adam said, "Where are you, Eve?" Said, "I'm here behind this tree." But said, "I hear him coming. I hear him coming." Said, "The word of God are walking in the cool of the day." And he said, "He can't see me." Adam said, "I got hid real good." He peeped, you know. All of a sudden, the word of God said, "Adam!" Eve said, "That's not me calling." That's the word of God. He got you. He got you on his radar screen, Clyde. Yeah, he had him located right there, didn't he? "Adam, where art thou?" You'd say, "Ring my ass that." Didn't God know? Of course God knew where he was. Sure he did. He wanted Adam to get to know where he was. Fact is, listen, I never thought of this before. He wasn't trying to locate Adam. He's trying to get Adam to locate him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
He wanted him to hear the shepherd's voice. He wanted him to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, Brother Raymond, and hearing by the word of God. And he said, "Adam." Adam said, "Present and on time." "Here I am. I'm hiding. He said, "What'd you hide for?" "Well," he said, "I got in trouble." "That's right. You know why you boys hide a lot of time? You're living in sin. You're afraid somebody catch up with you, because you know you're out of bounds. Wouldn't it be fine if you could just live out in the sunlight all the time?"
Yeah.
You know, I tell you the truth, I'd hate to have to be running and hiding like a rabbit all the time, afraid some old dog gonna catch me. Wouldn't you? I'm telling you, wouldn't it be fine just to live for the Lord? And so I want to say to you, Zacchaeus, when he got up the sycamore tree, rich man, climbed up the sycamore tree, and he got hid, put the leaves all around him, and he's up there and he said, "Now, boy, I'm telling you the truth. I'm really in love. Look here. Yonder he comes right down the street now. Crowd coming with him, and Jesus come walking under the tree and just sort of stopped." I imagine Zacchaeus' heart nearly stopped. Zacchaeus said, "Move on. I mean, keep on going. I've already seen him." Jesus said, "Zacchaeus?" Zacchaeus said, "That's me." "Sure as the world. I wonder if there's another Zacchaeus around here." "No, we'll figure out if he is. Come down. I must needs abide at thy house today." "Well," he said, "I guess I'm the only one up here." "I might as well come on down." Amen.
Yeah.
Here it came. You know what he said? He said, as he went home with him and he got talking to him, and he said, "Lord," he said, "you know, I want to give half my goods to feed the poor right now." Cut it right half in two. You know, a lot of people argue about the 10. You ever heard about that? I wouldn't fiddle my time away with somebody arguing about 10% of the income. I mean, until you get to where you realize God owns 100%, you're not much of a real New Testament Christian. Would you let me tell about the old hog and the little hen? Somebody was saying, "Wouldn't y'all like to make some gift? Can't you do something?" And somebody was lecturing, you know. And they're talking about a needy world. And the little hen said to the old hog, "And I don't have much to do with hogs. The Bible talks about the hogs in an ugly way. And if the Bible says something about hogs, we better leave them alone." And I read it. I found Moses had it on his arm when he came out of the mount. You remember that? "You better pay attention to it. And I don't have time to preach on it, but some of these days I will." Listen, he said, little hen said to the old hog, said, "Don't you think we could do something? Couldn't we do something?" Well, the old hog said, "Like what?" "Well," he said, we could offer some ham and eggs, couldn't we?" And the old hog said, "Yeah, you can talk like that. Sure, you can talk like that. Because an egg would just be a contribution from you, but ham would mean a complete and demand a complete commitment from me." There it is. I mean, just a piece of ham would wind me up. Now, a lot of us are trying to get by with a little contribution when we ought to make a complete commitment to God.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with some of you boys. That's when you don't like it down here. You don't like this atmosphere. You don't like to go to church. You just go because you got to. You don't like to read the Bible. You just know you're going to have to read it. And you don't like to go to prayer meeting. Why? You're just trying to make a little contribution and get your little hide out of some trouble for a little while. But you've never made a divine commitment to God. And when you do, he'll have it all. And when he has it all of it will be blessed. Amen.
Yes, yes.
God will bless all that you give to him. He certainly will. Salvation is of the Lord. Now then, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Behold, 2 Corinthians 6, 2. This is one verse you better always remember. Somebody said they got plenty of time. I've already buried those fellas, a bunch of them. I mean, before they got around to it. I can name them. I can name them just like that. Don't have time. I can name people back through my ministry. I mean, 3 dozen years I've been hearing them saying, "Not tonight, not tonight, Not tonight. I'll get saved by and by. I'm in no hurry, brother. If there's anything you better get in a hurry about, it's salvation.
Yes.
I was talking to our boys in the jail the other night. And I said, fellas, I want to remind you, you could die on this jailhouse floor tonight. You could lose your mind tonight, and you could see Jesus come tonight, and you'd be left out. Those three things could get you. Oh, yes, they could. And Jesus could come in a minute. And he said, behold, now is the day of salvation. And today is the accepted time. Now then, there's another verse found over in the book of Philippians. He said, work out your own salvation. Think about it. Now, isn't that sweet? When you get it, you can work it out, but you can't work it out till you get it. He said, work out your own salvation. Wouldn't it be a fine thing if every boy here would that's saved, would, when a new boy comes in, they just start working on right then, praying with him. Man, they just get off one of these old trees and all out here in the grove and just fall on their face and say, Lord, save this new boy. And every time he gets around one of you, say, have you been saved? Have you been saved? I mean, do you know Jesus? I mean, would you pray with me? I want to read a chapter to you. I want to tell you what Jesus did for me. I tell you, they wouldn't last long before they get saved.
That's right.
Man, that'd even get a grown man saved. You know that?
Yes.
I mean, just put it to him like that. Oh, listen, that little old boy's a dope addict. Came to be with it. I say, little boy, 21 years of age. 21 years of age. His daddy looked at him and said, son, go on over there now. And when you get help and come on home, help me, will you? Isn't that a wonderful opportunity? Dave said, I'm going back home to help my daddy. I'm going to help him. He went into Christ. Yes, but listen, fellas, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now then, you know, when you get saved, you get a new captain. When you get saved, you get a new author. Jesus is the author of salvation. He's the captain of salvation. And the Bible said, and this is sweet, he's coming the second time without sin unto salvation. You know what that means? It means that when Jesus comes, he's not going to be laying in the arms of a peasant mother in Bethlehem's manger. He's not going to be run down into Egypt by the religious hounds of the day. It means that Jesus is coming without sin. He's not coming for sinners anymore. He's already come for sinners one time. He's not going to die anymore. There'll be no more rugged cross. Brother Don, that always touches my heart. While I felt something in my soul, and you know, three boys came and knelt here a while ago because you told them about the blood and told them about Jesus. And that leads me to the last thing that I want to say, and that's this. There's a man in a certain part of the nation tonight, if he's still alive, and that man has a very rare blood. Did you know that there's only 10 people that they know of in the whole country that has his kind of blood, and he's dying? And they're begging for blood. They put it on the radio. They put it in the newspapers. And these 10 men, thus far, nobody's responded. Nobody's responded. And they say that they're going to have some blood for this man because he's dying and something's happened to his own system. But they're calling for blood. And just these 10 men that they know of in America, somewhere, they think there's 10 men with the same rare blood that he has. Dear friends, did you know that 1900 years ago, the whole human race desperately needed blood. And there was a wonderful Savior that had that rare blood. He's the only man that had it. It wasn't 10 men that had it, just one man that had it. That man came to his heavenly Father one day and said, Father, I've got the type blood that old sinner needs, and the whole human race needs. Now I'd like to go down there and give it. And he folded up his royal robes and hung them in the clothes closet of glory, told the angels goodbye, said, I'll be back after a while. And down the ladder of condescension, he came into humility. Oh, when you read the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, you'll find out he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, despised, rejected of men, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes were healed. And as the preacher said, as our layman said a while ago, rather, that his visage was marred. They didn't even recognize it. The psalmist said, thou art not a man, you're not a man. He just came to the place where almost, as he said, a bloody pup, and they couldn't recognize him when they saw him. Dear friend, I'm thankful to God that that blood availed for my sin, and that blood has covered my sin. And I came to that great doctor one day, and Dr. Grace took out this old heart and put in a new heart and made me whole. Now, fellas, that'll stop you lying, that'll stop you cheating, that'll stop you cigarette smoking, that'll stop you thieving. That'll stop your uncleanness. I mean, when that kind of blood comes into your spiritual life, that'll solve your problem and answer all your questions. I ask you tonight, are you willing for your problems to be solved? Do you plan to be a hoodlum and a criminal the rest of your life? Do you want to live and die in the prison walls? Do you want to live a lonely life? I preached to 100 and some odd prisoners this week, and you know what all of them want to do? Go home with me. Many times I'd say, fellas, how about y'all going home with me? And every one of them jumped up, said, we're ready. But you know what? There was five great big steel doors between them and the sunshine or the moonlight. I was the only one that got out. They opened the double door and I stepped in between. They opened the other door and I stepped out. And I heard the boys begin to say, God bless you, Brother Olaf. Come again. Come again. Don't wait so long. They came. I missed a week and I came in and said, where were you? Where were you? I take a month's meetings. They say, where you been so long? But dear friends, I'm glad that Jesus can stay inside the jail with him. I am coming to that old cross. I am poor and I'm weak and I'm blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall fool salvation find. I am trusting the Lord in thee, dear Lamb of Calvary. Humbly at the cross I bow. Save me, Jesus. Oh, save me right now. And that's exactly when he'll save you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.